what they call the modern version. But real quick, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 2. And then we'll be going to Revelation chapter 2. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. Bible says, ye shall not add unto this unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. So God's telling them in this in Deuteronomy as they're getting ready to head over, look, you know what I mean? Do not change anything that I've told you.
Right.
Basically saying, if you add to it or take it away, how are you gonna know what to do?
Right.
He said, I commanded you what I want you to do in the law. If you change it, you're not going to be doing what I want you to do. He said, so how can you keep his commandments if you don't have his pure words? If you don't have the words that he gave. So let's go to Revelation chapter 22, same thing, just in the end of the Bible. Revelation 22, verse 18 says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. So, pretty steep consequences after messing with the word of God, right?
Yep.
That don't just go for, you know, like translations. I would say it goes even deeper as to a man of God gets up, starts preaching something that ain't right. Knowing and going out and preaching something and telling people and teaching them wrong,
right,
you're adding to the word of God, or you're taking away from it.
Right.
So, he's saying, take my word seriously.
Yep.
Take my word seriously is what he's saying. So, all right. So now let's get into some of this. This will be real quick, and then I'm almost feel bad for touching them, but I've got some of the other versions of the Bible here, and that I only spent like $2 on each of them, so I'm not contributing, too much to their cause. But purely for just to you be able to see what the difference is.
Right.
So
yeah.
These modern versions, and we're gonna learn that they're just literally straight from the devil. I mean, it's quite literally straight from the devil. But so we all know that in Antioch they were first called Christians, right?
Yes.
Well, basically all the scholars kind of went to Antioch, and that basically is kind of what it was. In Antioch, the Bible was translated into several different languages. One of them was Syrian. It was into Syrian because Antioch's actually in Syria. So that was at 150 AD. 157 AD is where we're getting into. They translated it into what is called Old Latin. It's these Old Latin texts spread basically to all the known world. So everybody had a good version, the actual Word of God, in the languages that they spake, from Antioch. And then I think that's pretty cool there that they were first called Christians in Antioch. So, my goodness, and that now they're translating, the manuscripts into what they call Old Latin. So, but that's important. They translated it into Old Latin. But basically, you can see in that, if you actually take it and look at it, you can see each, part of what the devil was trying to do to keep the word of God from getting to people, right? So he tried, basically he was, we all know he's not happy when the word of God's preached. He ain't happy about, you know, people being called Christians and spreading Bibles, you know, basically, you know, manuscripts and texts of the word of God around. So, you know, yeah.
Was Latin the main language?
No, actually, not a whole lot of people spoke Latin, but the Catholic Church likes Latin. So, but that's not why, you know, the Christians in Antioch translate. They were just translating it into languages for anybody that, you know, would. So God, we all know that they start to get persecuted, you know what I mean? But that did not stop them from spreading, you know, these texts and that the true word of God. Thank the Lord, because that's how we got our Textus Receptus, you know, to where we can, you know, have a King James Version Bible of the exact word of God to the English speaking people. So, but basically the plan was thwarted. So it makes its way to Alexandria, Egypt. Okay. This is where stuff starts going south. So they basically at Alexandria, there was a bunch of, they called them semi-pagan intellectuals, but they were calling themselves Christians. Nobody else was calling them Christians. Right. They were calling themselves Christians. They were still holding on to what they wanted, and they were the Einsteins of the day, you know what I mean? So the intellectuals, but they started, basically they get a version of it, you know, of this, you know, of God's true word, but they start changing things in it because they're intellectuals and they know better. It don't sound right. They don't like it. It convicts them in their heart because they're still pagan. They're not actually Christians. And so they start changing the, yep. what they wanted to say.
Yep.
They do that. And also this, some of the things they didn't believe in was that there wasn't a Godhead. Jesus is not God. He's just, you know, a man that was really good. You know, God's word is up to anybody's interpretation, etc., stuff like that. But they also took the Apocrypha and added it in like it was the Bible. Now, the Apocrypha, all of it was written in the 400 silent years. So, there was, and we all know from Scripture, there was no open vision in those 400 silent years. God was not speaking to a prophet how they got the Old Testament. So anything that was written in those 400 years was man's opinion and not the word of God.
Amen.
Okay. But, you know, this is a scheme of the devil here. The Apocrypha, and it, the Apocrypha is riddled with inconsistencies. And it actually directly, you know, says that, you know, you're allowed to use witchcraft. I mean, you can do all these things. I mean, just... my goodness, and that, it speaks about, you know, doesn't call it purgatory, but it's one of the places. I think it's in Talbot. It says that you can pray after somebody dies. Same thing as, you know, as purgatory. You can pray for your the ones that are dead, and they can get into heaven if you pray enough for them. That's what the Apocrypha is, and that, but. They mix it in there. And interesting enough, the Catholic Church gets a lot of their doctrines from these apocryphal books. So this was all written, these were all written in the 400 silent years, but it's being spread around as God's word. Then we get to 330 AD, around 330 AD, not exactly, but... Constantine, we all know who he is. He's the Roman emperor that turned Christian. You know what I mean? But basically, oh wait, I'm sorry, I'm missing some things here. We get, he takes those, what they wrote, you know, the corrections that they made, and he has 50 codexes, which it was all in, you know, papyrus and stuff like that before, or scrolls, I'm sorry. Codex is just a book like this. It means that it's in this form. He has 50 of them made of that text. This was an expensive ordeal that he had. I mean, it was very expensive, but he has them, and he takes, has them sent to him in Constantinople, which is Alexandria, after he took it over and named it Constantinople. So now he's got 50 books just like this, only in the corrupted text, okay? And that's what he thinks is, you know, because by now we've got Catholicism. He's a Catholic, okay? So that becomes what the Catholics, you know, are basically using. So, and then we all know, I said it last week, but like 380 AD, Jerome translates that into what they call New Latin. Kind of changed here a little bit. So he translates it into Latin from the Greek, because what the Alexandrians were using was Greek. He translates it into Latin, but he feels compelled to put some of the, not all of it, but some of the good scriptures back in there. Now, the Catholics were trying to get him not to do that, but he said, look, they have the real thing in Greek,
yep.
You know what I mean? And they have it in Old Latin. They're going to be able to tell if it's way off. You know what I mean? So he adds some of it back in, you know, so that he's not ostracized, basically. So, but he translates the Apocrypha into it, okay? So now we've got a semi, you know, corrupted. Well, if one word's wrong, it's all corrupted. We know that. So we've got that now. So just like we said, now we're not going to go back over, because a lot of that is everything that we said last week. But let's skip ahead to 1540 AD. Enter the Jesuits. Okay. The Jesuits are a group of priests, Roman or Catholic priests, that basically become the CIA type sect for the Pope. Okay. They form an order called the Jesuit Order. Basically, it's, and they also call it the Jesus, the Order of Jesus or something. So they're trying to put Jesus in it, but they're right. They're far away from it. But that's where you get the Jesuit Order. So their mission, and I mean, this is what they say their mission is, was to bring all the earth under submission to the Pope, because the Pope was God on earth. That's what they believe. The Pope is literally God on earth. Anything he says goes. So, like I said, they're basically the Pope's CIA. They go around kidnapping, torturing people in the night, just, you know, you believe conspiracy theories about CIA. Killed in the name of, and everybody's killed in the name of the Pope that does not submit to the Pope. So, I know that's kind of sounding like, why do we have to know that? That's going to come in to play these Jesuits. So, basically, they go in, they infiltrate the leadership in other countries, bringing them, I mean, all doing it in secrecy, okay? And the Jesuits are still around. There's still Jesuit priests around. But they're bringing all kinds of countries around into the Catholic faith. Become Catholic, submit to the Pope, or else, you know, look what we can do, we're the Catholics. You know what I mean? But the most notable thing that they did is they started to infiltrate colleges and biblical schools and became the professors. Okay. So basically the seminaries of back then, now all of a sudden the Jesuits are teaching in the, seminaries. Okay. And that's, in the 1600s and the 1700s, they started teaching, what's called higher criticism. And this they started to cast doubt on who actually wrote the books of the Bible. So I don't know if Jude wrote this, or I don't know if Moses wrote the first five Bibles. You know what I mean? Just putting the seed of doubt in. 1600s, 1700s, they're doing that. But they're also teaching this thing called lower criticism, which claims that the text, basically the Textus Receptus, is inferior to the Latin Vulgate, or the Alexandrian text. We're getting ahead of ourselves. So so that's what they're teaching. They're teaching this all throughout, okay? Now we get up to the 1940s. So by the 1940s, just about every seminary that is out there has accepted at least the lower criticism. Now, the higher criticism at that point, that was for the liberals of the liberals, okay? They were, they're like, okay, well, we believe the lower criticism. We believe that, you know, we're that the Alexandrian texts are closer to what God said, but, you know, I know Job broke Job. You know what I mean? That kind of right. Now, fast forward to the 60s, you know, because each generation gets a little bit more liberal and liberal. I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with you, honey. Each generation, you know what I mean, seems to be getting a little bit more liberal. So now, they're teaching at seminaries now that they're casting doubt on who even wrote the Bible. But they've accepted this lower criticism. Now, they're using what's called the Septuagint, which is, they say that they found this version of the Old Testament, which is a complete lie. It is actually a complete lie. That had been translated in 185 AD. They found it, they're using it. But actually, the Septuagint is really just the Codex Vaticanus. Is what they call the Codex Vaticanus. Let's remember that, which is basically, and this is gonna, really not going to blow your mind, but still, basically, it's the Greek Catholic Bible. The Greek Catholic Bible is what the Codex Vaticanus is.
I agree. Not to cut you off, but I agree with that. Well, actually, the Septuagint will actually change the wording. Some of the scriptures.
Yeah.
Is it just running it through the inner layers?
Yeah.
So if you go to Septuagint, if you can actually translate the language and all that, it's in, I found that it's worse things.
Oh, yeah. So, but basically, they tried to pass off the Septuagint as they only found the Old Testament, okay? But if you go back and you actually look, it says the Septuagint is, and you dig really, like these, because all these, you know, scholars, they're just going off what their professors are saying.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're not looking into it themselves. But when you look into it, there has never been a Septuagint found that did not have all three, you know, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Apocrypha. And so basically, they're finding these 50 books that Constantine had made, which was translated to Latin, became the Latin Vulgate. You know what I mean? So that's basically what they're finding. And they're bringing out from the back, you know, knocking the dust off and saying, here you go, we found it. You know what I mean? So. It's crazy. So that's the Codex Vaticanus. That's one of the things that they use to translate these right here. The NIV, ESV, not the New King James. The New King James is not translated from that. It's translated from the Textus Receptus. But CSV, ESV, NIV, any modern version of the Bible uses the Codex Vaticanus and what we're getting ready to talk about, the Codex Sinaiticus. So, any questions before we move on to Codex Sinaiticus? Basically, you know, so the Vatican book is what Codex Vaticanus translates to. I mean, they're trying to pass it off, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the Vatican book, you know what I mean? My goodness, isn't that ridiculous? But so, all right, now we go to the Codex Sinaiticus. So in 1844, a German scholar by the name of, you're going to love his name, Constantine von Tischendorf. It's his name. Sounds like a weirdo, don't it? Constantine von Tischendorf. He goes, okay, he makes it his mission. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to find the earliest manuscripts of the Bible. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to be an archaeologist. I'm going to find it. He makes it his life's mission. So in 1844, he comes upon this a monastery at the foot of Mount Sinai. There's a monastery there, and he goes up in a Catholic monastery. Okay, so what, he's supposedly a Protestant, you know what I mean? Why is he going, you know, supposedly a Baptist, you know what I mean? So why is he in cahoots with the Catholics, you know what I mean? But he goes there and he finds a manuscript literally in a basket getting ready to be burnt, okay? I mean, it's in the garbage. They're getting ready to use it as, they use old manuscripts as their fuel, you know what I mean? Their fires, and that basically is what they use them for. It's in the garbage, you know what I mean? Getting ready to be put into the fire. He all of a sudden finds it, says, hey, what is that? Just some old garbage. And I look at it, and he opens it up. It's part, you know, of, he thinks it's the Bible, okay? This is called, what he finds, they call the Codex Sinaiticus, because it was found at the monastery in Sinai. Okay, so he takes it, he translates it, okay, because he's a linguist, translates it and finds that it was different from the King James Version. Says, oh my goodness, and that we've had it all wrong all these years, you know. Why should we believe what's been good since, you know, God spoke it, you know what I mean? We got something. And basically what they say is because it's older than the Textus Receptus, they say that it's more closer to what God would have actually said just because it's older. But I'm going to... Codex Sinaiticus is not older than that. There's, yeah, you'll see. But the reason why we had to, you know, have more manuscripts of this, maybe the King James, you know, the real Word of God, because they were actually being used. You know, you use a Bible that's being used is going to last a lot less than one that's sitting on your bookshelf, right?
Yeah. True.
Right. And that it's inspired. It inspires people. They want to read more of it. They want to preach from it. You know what I mean? So yeah, they're having to go through and continuously copy more because they're wearing them out. They're preaching them. You know what I mean? Codex Sinaiticus supposedly is in the back of a monastery, not being used. For what reason? Because it's not, you know, the real Word of God. So he translates it. He goes back. A couple years later, he winds up going back like three times, but he goes back and they bring it. Hey, we got something good for you. They come out wrapped in this red cloth like it's, you know, coming, you know, straight out of heaven. And he thinks, you know, like, you know, type things, you know what I mean? And it's a complete New Testament. But it's not right. So basically in this, it's riddled. And when they translate, it's riddled with inaccuracies. All right. It's got extra books in it. They find an epistle of Barnabas in it. My goodness. And that, and it's missing an epistle of Barnabas. And it's missing a lot of verses. Okay. But they say just because it's older, you know what I mean? They said, we found this in the third century, you know, from third century. You know what I mean? Your manuscripts are only, you know, a couple, you know, 100 years old. You know what I mean? Obviously, ours is better. No, they actually looked, and you can actually see it because they, for the longest time, up until about 10, 12 years ago, nobody was allowed to look at it, basically. But now they have pictures of it on, you know, online and all that, this Codex Sinaiticus. And you can literally tell that they took and went over the papers to make them look old. Like people that, you know, knows how to do that stuff, you know what I mean? They've looked at it like, man, this ain't old. Half of it is completely as white as this paper right here. Something that's 1,700 years old, Brother Aaron, isn't going to be white. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't care if I never opened this Bible and then said it, you know, again, put on a shelf 1,700 years later, they're going to come back. It's going to be a completely different color. It's aged, right? It's not going to be completely white. So basically, what everybody's saying now is Tischendorf made that all up. He wrote out, because it looks, you look at it, you know what I mean? It was made on a printer. You know what I mean? Equal column, four equal columns. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. I mean, nobody's handwriting is that perfect. It's all in block letters, right? My goodness. And then, of course, it's in, you know, I think it was in Greek. But so basically, that's where we, these new modern Bibles are all being translated from the Codex Sinaiticus and the Codex Vaticanus. They mix them together. Certain people, like the CSB guy, this one right here, I think he basically went off the Codex Sinaiticus, but it's only New Testament. There wasn't, he didn't have the Old Testament with it. So they used the Codex Vaticanus for the Old Testament, Codex Sinaiticus for the New Testament, and they're basically saying there's like 3,000 differences in it, and that's just little wordings like he sat on this, you know what I mean, or he went over here and sat, you know what I mean, like those kind of differences, you know what I mean. So basically, they're translating these Bibles from the Catholic Bible. So basically, what you have here, one of these, you have a Catholic Bible minus the Apocrypha. Okay, so that's how corrupted that these actually are. You know what I mean? It's not, if they only were trying to change the words into how we talk now instead of all the shouts, you know what I mean? Instead of shout, we'll use will. That wouldn't be that big of a deal. You know what I mean? If they're, you know what I mean, sticking true to, you know, and doing it off of the King James Bible. But what they've done is they've completely changed the narrative of the story, not story, but of the Bible, and that, and slapped it between two covers and said, here, use this. They're teaching it in the seminaries, here, use this. The one that they like the most over there is the NASB, New American Standard Bible, and it's even worse than these. Translated from, you know, the same things, but so my goodness, and that it's just, it's outrageous, you know what I mean? And actually, I'm kind of aggravated just teaching it. My goodness, and that they're actually,
it's true.
What difference are they doing than when the Catholics, you know, in the Dark Ages, like my dad would say, you know, said that you can't read the Bible. You know, I don't want you to even say a scripture if you're not a priest. You know what I mean? What makes them any better,
right,
if they're just translating? You know what I mean? And giving it to everybody. You know what I mean? What did the devil do in the Garden of Eden? What did he do? He said, "Hath God not said that you can eat of every tree?" And
right.
He twisted it just a little bit.
Amen.
But caused so much doubt that she winds up reaching out there. And
that's truth.
Okay,
that's the truth. Yeah,
the devil's all over this.
Amen.
This is the devil's Bible.
Yeah.
My goodness, it's just not labeled the Book of Satan like the actual one that they have. You know what I mean? They have the Satan's Bible or whatever. There is one out there that the witches use it and stuff, which is real. Don't even get me started. This right here basically is the devil version. You know, the corrupted version of the Bible that everybody's reading, and we'll get into some of these changes here, and you can see that the actual, I mean, the doctrine is just so much different. Oh, well, first of all, here, Tim, that's CSB. Who wants ESB? Dad's got NIV over there. Careful. Don't catch a demon.
Listen, this whole thing has made me, like, and I'm not, like,
I mean, do you guys understand what I said?
I'm not confused about what you're saying. I'm just so confused on why they have to try so hard to change it.
Right.
And I know, I get it, but at the same time, it's just so hard to grasp the concept of why they need to disprove the truth so bad that they have to just distort everything.
Yeah. Well, it's simple. It's lack of faith.
Yeah.
It's lack of trusting God.
Like I said, on the one hand, I totally get it, but on the other hand, it's just so baffling that they
have
to have 50,000 different versions to make you feel better.
Well, studying it out, it's even worse than I thought.
Yeah.
Because before I just thought, they've kind of that convinced me. Let me do it here. You know what I mean? But they're actually, there's a scheme behind it. There's a narrative behind it. You got Jesuits sitting on the councils, translating. I mean, actual Jesuit, Roman Catholic priest sitting in on, some of the councils that are translating what they call a Protestant Bible. It sounds like I'm demonizing the Roman Catholics. We'll go with Revelation chapter 13, and I'll show you exactly what it is. But
what a great way to control people.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically the CIA works directly for the president, right? Jesuits work, They say they don't. They work directly for the Pope, even though the Pope has formally renounced them. I can say anything I want, in front of a TV camera.
Yeah.
But what I do at home can be quite different.
Right.
Right. All right. Everybody, just turn to Colossians 1:14. This is like the most sickening one out of all of them. Colossians 1:14. I'm gonna read in the New Testament and then just go around and whoever's got a different Bible you read. Nikki, you read it in the New Testament.
I got that.
Oh, okay. All right. Colossians 1:14 says, this is what God said. In whom we have redemption through his blood, talking about his son.
Yep.
Even the forgiveness of sins. Can you read Colossians 1:14 out of CSB here? Yeah, it's in paragraph form. You're going to have to try to find it.
There it is. Okay. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
All right. Go ahead, whoever has ESV.
Hold on, I'm trying to get this one. This one's real.
Do NIV real quick.
In him we have redemption, the
forgiveness. There you go. You find it?
1:14. In whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins.
The blood's gone. We're not saved through the blood. We're not saved through the blood. That way, I got New King James here. New King James translated the same from the same Textus Receptus as there. Let me read New King James.
You take the blood out of it, you've taken out the entire Bible.
I mean, it's not the gospel anymore.
It all started. Sacrifices, were bloody. They sprinkled blood on the altar.
Yeah.
On the people.
Wasn't complete without.
Right, yeah.
1:14 in the New King James. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. New King James has the blood. New Testament. That's because that's literally the King James version of the
Bible. It's just translated.
Read it. Okay.
God's Son, he done one while set we free from sin, power over we. When he shed his blood upon the cross, he pardoned me.
The thing that's what is the iPad.
Yeah. Amen. Okay, so there, that one. The blood's gone, Aaron.
I listening to them on the web or a lot of podcasts, a lot of different preachers and stuff. And something I've noticed, they'll say things like, I like to read this verse out of the Message. Or they use them all.
Yeah. And,
like, you know, that even they are picking and choosing what Bible they want to try.
Whichever verse suits them.
Yeah.
Now, they're all translated from these, Codex Sinaiticus and Vaticanus. But each one is kind of different, you know what I mean? Because they use, instead of, this is word-to-word translation. That's how this one was set up, King James. They want to translate it word-to-word, what the manuscript says. Every word has to be the same, or else it's not God's word. You know, that was their mission. Now, in these newer ones, it's a thought to thought. What's he trying to say here? Let me say it in a way that, now, honestly, and they go through, I've been reading a book about translations. You're going to love this. Down in like Guatemala, you go through and you look at a picture of, you know, the Last Supper painting. You know how it's got, you know, the lamb, you know, on the table and all that, and you know everybody's around. You got John leaning on the bosom. You got all the people there, but in the painting, you've got a guinea pig on the plate. Or it's not in Guatemala. It's one of the. It's a different one. It's in another country where they don't have lambs. They're sheep, and they were afraid that they wouldn't be able to understand, because, you know what I mean. We don't have hippos in America, but I know what a hippo is, right? You know, maybe because I've been told, you know, this is what a hippo is. They didn't want to do that. They traded it out, the lamb, for what an equivalence, critical equivalence is what they call it. And they said, well, they got guinea pigs over there. So anytime there's a sheep, now it's a guinea pig in that Bible. So literally, he's in their country, he's the lamb. Or not the lamb, he's the guinea pig of God, not lamb of God. You know what I mean? So, there, you know what I mean? The Passover was all done with guinea pigs. I mean, it's outrageous, man. That's the depths that they go.
True.
To, you know what I mean? So,
my question is, aren't guinea pigs dirty?
Yeah.
Yep.
Guinea pig isn't even an acceptable sacrifice.
Right. No.
Not at all. The lambs are supposed to be pure. Why haven't they been dirty? They just roam around.
Yeah. Wouldn't have been an acceptable sacrifice either.
Right.
So they have literally, I mean, if you look at it, they have taken away the holiness out of that.
Yep.
Out of the sacrifice of God. You know what I mean? Because if they read the Old Testament, you know what I mean? They're not, a guinea pig is unclean. You know what I mean? Like, you know, is he an unclean sacrifice? You know what I mean? I mean, it's outrageous, Morgan. It's outrageous.
There was a reason that God picked a lamb.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He did not pick a guinea pig. He did not pick an alligator. He did not pick a bunny.
Right.
I'm sorry. He picked a lamb.
Man.
Yep.
And that is what he said, so I'm going to believe that.
Yep.
And it's not even that. It's just because lambs, like you said, are pure.
Yep.
So that's why he chose a lamb instead of a guinea pig.
Well, I read something that said that lamb's blood, actually, I did a little digging in it. Like, there's some properties of lamb's blood also that actually can fight the toxins of snake.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, I think every single, I think every single detail matters.
Yeah, every, you know, so detail. Does the guinea pig's blood do that?
Nope. we gotta wrap it. It's like a guinea pig.
I got curious whenever Nikki was talking about the Message,
yeah,
Bible, and I looked it up on my phone, and the same verse says, the sun who got us out of the pit we were in, God
got rid of the sins we were doomed to keep repeating.
Not blood. I wonder why.
It's such a deception.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah, because there's people that I respect and
yeah.
You know, I believe that they're saved and I know they have a lot of things to say. And I feel like even they are deceived.
Oh yeah.
For them to use them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can be saved and use one of these Bibles, I think, you know, I mean, if you've never used a King James. I mean, I'm sorry, I don't feel the spirit. I've looked at a couple of these. I mean, ain't none of that got any spirit in it. Because it's not the Word of God, you know what I mean? It's just plain and simple, isn't it? It's been changed, you know what I mean? I went all the way back. Yeah.
I mean, if you were saved by the grace of God, when you hear something that is not the truth, that alarm goes off.
That's not right. Yeah.
There are so many people, though, have same thought always, you know, about all those that the truth was kept from.
Yeah.
How many people were in hell because of the Bible?
It's true. It's true.
Oh, I still believe it that God will put every man. I believe that with all my heart. He will come to every man. But, I mean, it would make them, it would be so hard for them. You know, hearing it a different way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Having your parents teach you this all your life. I mean, Tim can attest to some of that.
Yeah.
He was, you know, raised differently. But, I mean, there's a lot of people that aren't him. You know?
Amen.
That's how mom and dad did it. So that's
That's what Catholicism is, tradition. I mean, it's passed down.
It's extremely ceremonial too. Through a mass, a Sunday morning service, like you can just about predict every single Sunday service.
Okay.
It's literally the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and then if you don't know Latin in some of the services, also you don't know the things. That's the other thing.
Yeah. Sermons are still given in Latin. So people don't even know what you. I mean, who knows Latin? Latin's a dead language, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it a dead language? Like, it's not in use anymore, except for the Catholic Church. So, they're preaching in a language that not a single one sitting there is even knowing what he's saying. Yeah, I mean, if you go and you learn language, you know, Latin. I mean, but, all right, let's all go to Matthew 1:25. I'm going to show you that, you know, it's Catholic doctrine. Aaron, if you would read the King James. I'll read New King James, and whoever's got the other ones can read theirs.
25?
125.
125.
And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
I'm going to read New King James. And did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Joe, you're up, Tim, if you can find it.
Yeah, this Bible's. I'm not trying to dip it because the layout's horrible.
Oh, they make King James like
those.
They make King James like those, though. People like that form.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Nikki loves it.
It says, but did not have. I don't want to read this out loud.
Can't cover yours.
But did not have sexual relations with her until she gave.
I forgot that one was
a song. And he named him.
Okay. If you found it.
I found it.
Do you not want to? You don't have to.
No, this one's okay.
That's okay.
But knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
But did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth.
Aaron and me have firstborn in there. Okay? Everyone else just had a son. Okay? Why is that? The Catholics literally reject that Mary had any other children. Mary stayed a virgin the rest of her life. never had another child with Joseph, and she stayed pure and all that. So, Raphorthe, son, if you say firstborn, means that you had other ones afterwards. Okay? On all these, it's left open. She just had a son.
Right? Well, they believe, too, I think that. I don't think they believe that James is Jesus' brother. Or was anything that right?
Yeah.
They don't. They reject that idea, too.
Yes. Because
they think
Jesus was
more of like a second cousin.
Yeah. It all, it's Mary worship.
Yes. But it blatantly says, James is the brother of Jesus. The brother of Jesus. You can't get any more blame.
Yeah.
The first verse that we read, you could definitely tell the blood was taken out. I don't know that I would have caught that.
If you didn't know it was anyway.
Would
right. And then, exactly. I wouldn't have. If I didn't know the difference.
Now that you know, it's basically a Catholic Bible.
Yeah. There, that's a big difference.
And if you know Catholic religion, I mean, it's so subtle, you don't pick up on it.
That's reminding me of, my family is very strange. And you guys may know a little bit about it.
My family growing up, mother, sisters, but I know that my grandma has a testimony. I know that she's been saved. I have faith in that, and God has shown me that. But I remember talking with Mark about it, and I'm like, I just don't understand why my grandma is going along with the things that my mom and everybody is doing. Like, I don't understand how she talks so great about what they're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's like, it just brings me back to, he told me that thing. He's like, well, my grandpa always used to, or my dad always used to tell me, if you throw a frog in a pot of boiling water, it's going to jump out. But if you throw a frog in a pot of water and then slowly cook it, it'll sit there and cook to death. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the thing that I keep thinking of, is some of the changes are so small that you don't notice them.
They're cooking until they're dead.
Yeah, and then you just keep going. Like, this isn't so bad. This is fine. Because, I'll tell you, I grew up in churches. I remember reading out of the KJV. And then somewhere along the line, we switched.
Yeah.
And I think it was the NIV that we used a lot whenever I was reading for myself. And I didn't see anything wrong with it.
Yeah.
You know? And
most people don't.
Yeah, I'm like, it's just easier to understand. It's easier to read. It flows better. It doesn't have the these and the owls and, all of that stuff. You know, that's what I was thinking. And Aaron and I talked about it a lot whenever we were dating, first married and stuff like that. And there's a lot of things that I was really confused about.
Yeah.
And I mean, even to this day, I cannot bring myself to fully study some things because I'm afraid of it, and I shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Like, my mom fully believes that the end of time, you're going to get your head chopped off if you believe that, you believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
And Christians are going to be here, and you're going to have the 777 or 666 to buy groceries and all of these things. Mm-hmm. And that petrifies me. And I know that God has shown me through the years that that's not right.
Yeah.
But there's still that part of my head that it sticks there.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it's a horror movie if you believe it that way. You can't write a better script, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Think about that. How some were beheaded.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So, those are things that go along with pretty much.
Yeah.
They think all these things are going to happen around here.
Sorry, I read it the last week.
But again, it goes back to a lack of faith there, because my thing is people are always looking for something physical all the time in some shape or form. You know, in premillennialism, you have the physical. And it's like, you're looking for physical things, but he told Thomas, blessed are they that have not seen. Faith isn't something that's seen. And the Bible teaches that.
All right, let's go to Matthew 6:13. And we're not going to be able to, we're definitely not going to be able to do them all. There's 35,000 changes or something.
Wow.
So many omissions. And between just, they compare the NIV and the KJV, yeah, because they're the two most popular Bibles in the world, or book and Bible. So basically, if you add all up all the words that have been changed or omitted and all that, and you compare, they say literally just as an equivalence, you can take out 1st and 2nd Peter out of our Bible. That's how many changes wow. were. It's equal to 1st and 2nd Peter. Those two books. Not big books, but
yeah.
I mean, now you only got 64 books instead of 66. You know what I mean? So, but yeah. All right, Matthew 6:13. This is, go ahead, Aaron.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Yeah. New King James is, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Or Tim.
And it says, you said 6:13?
Yeah.
And 14 or just 13?
13.
And do not bring this into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Okay.
The ESV says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from
evil. All right. None of them said amen. This is Jesus, well, except for King James and King James. This is Jesus giving the Lord's Prayer, teaching them how to pray, right? And here we are. It's no longer his kingdom, right? They took the kingdom out, the glory and the kingdom out of it. He does not no longer have a kingdom and glory in heaven, right?
Power, too.
Yeah, and power.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're diminishing Jesus.
Yeah. Right.
They're taking power from him. Okay. Making him smaller than what he is. And just about all the seminaries now, they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe that he's just a good man, that Jesus liked us, but allowed him to be a sacrifice for us. He was able to live sinless without being the Son of God. Okay. Oh.
Well, I went further down to 16. Just caught my eye.
Just because you got in the rebel.
Yeah, really. Because in the King James Version, it says, moreover, when ye fast, be not as hypocrites, or as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And this one, just the beginning, I won't read it all, but, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. For they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward.
Yeah.
It's just,
you know, and Chase says something that Chase Lake says something that I agree completely with. He pretty much, you know, when you start taking the blood and changing up all these things, my thing with this is you start lifting up man more than God,
right?
And my thing is like the KJV, you know, just by reading that the most, obviously, you know, well, reading that only, but. What I'm saying is, like, in here, it's no doubt that it doesn't lift up man, it lifts up God, but then you start looking at some of these, and the minuscule, what people would call the minuscule changes, and it just seems like trying to lift up man.
Yeah.
Trying to put Jesus and us on the same
kind of on the same level, if not higher.
God,
yeah.
Jesus now.
Yeah.
And so,
well, that's, yeah, I mean,
it's the same thing.
They don't believe Son of God.
So it just goes back to the original point. It's the same thing that Satan did. In Scripture.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to be God.
Yeah, yeah. This is the devil, man.
Lord, yeah. Had him. And he prevailed not, was cast into the earth. And so it's the same thing.
If he can't completely take the Word of God out of existence, he can't touch it. You know what I mean? It's forever written in heaven. You know what I mean? What can he do? He can twist it like he did Eve and bring about downfall. Okay?
But force her to take the fruit that you can check her into.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the more people that are confused, that's what I mean, if they're saved and they're confused about what God is saying, then they're not going to be able to bring people to Christ,
yeah.
At least as well as what they would be, you know, if they were doing things the correct way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's not right. It's upsetting, really. All right, one more in Matthew. Let's go to 9:13. No, I want to skip. I mean, there's so many. Here's one I'm just going to read to you that's completely, it's just gone. Matthew 17:21 is just gone. Well, not in this one, but the ones that are now. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. So don't pray and don't fast. Jesus prayed and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights.
Yep.
If Jesus does it, obviously it's something that we should do too.
Yep. Yeah.
That was taken out. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses for a pretense and make long prayers, therefore ye shall receive greater damnation. That's not in there at all. But let's go back to 9:13.
And then it's 17:21. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. It says, it has a footnote. It says, yeah. Some manuscripts are your words similar.
Yeah, yeah, that's what they do. It's completely gone. I mean, they just omitted it completely. It's not in the Bible.
From 20 to 22.
Yeah.
It has nothing. It doesn't say anything about it.
Yeah, they say
this one too. It's like,
they all of them. Well, no, they, in order to make it sound like they care, they leave it, you know. There is a verse 21 in other Bibles, but we, you know, it's not in the Codex Vaticanus or Sinaiticus.
That hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah. 9:13. Go ahead, Aaron.
But go ye and learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
All right, so 13 in the New King James. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Go ahead. If you found it.
Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners.
Go ahead, you over there.
Me. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners.
Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous.
The sinners don't need to repent in y'all's Bibles.
They just completely take that part out of it.
Yeah.
That's a big part.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sinners need to repent.
Yeah, that's like the most important part.
Yeah.
All right.
You can't just skip that part.
Yeah.
That's very important.
Yeah.
That makes me very angry.
They missed the mark.
Yeah. And repentance. In the Latin, it's been changed. When they translated it, you can translate it one of two ways: repentance or penance. Ring any bells? In the Latin, it's translated into penance.
As in pain, isn't that what penance
is? That is, as in you have to continuously pay for your sins and not just repent.
Right.
So you know how you see the.
Yeah.
The priests smacking themselves on the back, you know what I mean? I gotta suffer or else I'm not gonna go to heaven. You know, instead of repenting for your sins once and God saving you, you're continuously, you know, paying for your sins all through your life. So
and they also took the power away from Jesus there. It's like, I desire mercy instead of I will have mercy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he's not able to tell us what to do.
Yeah.
He says what he would like to see happen.
Yeah.
You know that I will have.
Change
yeah.
Me.
Yeah. 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 Yep.
Like he's a king talking to people. You know, I will have obedience I will have, not, hey, can you please settle down over there?
Yeah. It makes me sound wishy-washy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I think from going from I will have it to I guess I'll have it. I desire it.
And that's not God. He wants everything from us. Yes. He wants us. That's it. He wants us and all we can give.
Of course, please.
Yes, and he doesn't want a little bit of it. He doesn't want that. He wants all of us, and we need to give him all it all to him.
Yeah. Amen. All right, we got a lot, Mark. We're not going to do a whole lot more. Just you guys are getting the picture here, but. Mark chapter 10, 21, but they think that Mark is the true gospel and the rest of them are just kind of there. You know what I mean? Like, you can't really count on the other three, but you can really count on Mark. So, yeah.
Amen. What'd you say, Stephanie?
I said I know a couple of Marks who feel that way, too.
All right, Mark 10:21.
All right. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me.
Okay. New King James. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. You're up, Tim.
Which one is it?
It says,
look at 10:13. Oh, this is you.
Looking at him, Jesus loved him and said to him, you lack one thing, go sell all you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, then come follow me.
Good.
And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, you lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, yeah, and come follow me.
Yeah.
Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Yeah.
Now that we're saved, I guess we don't have to be cross bearers anymore. Don't be like Jesus. Just follow after him. Don't try to imitate him and be like him. You know what I mean?
Don't do what I do.
Yep. All right. Let's go to Mark. I was telling my dad about this. Let's go to the last chapter of Mark. Mark chapter
16. This Bible is good, all the other ones are
garbage. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're garbage. Yeah.
There's nothing in it. It needs spirit, and it needs the blood, it needs righteousness, it needs repentance. There's so much that is left out.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's just, it's sad.
Yeah.
It really is.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Aaron, how many verses you got in chapter 16, bro?
20. And yes, all 20 of the two
doesn't speak. Yeah. And Tim, how many you got? Like, right before the line there. Like, what's between there and there? Eight verses. You got saints, Steph?
Where? Before, like,
verse 16. There should be a line drawn in between scriptures. Do you have 1-8, then a line,
yeah,
then 9-20.
And then it says some of the earliest scriptures,
yeah,
do not include,
yeah,
16, 9, or 20.
That's
but
what.
But then it has 9.
Yeah, mine says the earliest manuscripts from some of the ancient witnesses do not,
yeah,
include 9-20.
Yeah. So it's gone. It's completely gone because Codex Sinaiticus don't have it. Codex Sinaiticus don't have it. So
then why don't they even put that in there?
Because they're afraid, they want people to bridge from
the King James over to there, so they say.
Yeah, but we got you are so secure in the fact that you're right. But, well, some people are dumb.
Yeah.
They're going to take it out. But then they went ahead and rewrote them. They still rewrote them to put them in here.
Yeah.
Even though there's some of the earliest manuscripts don't include 1935.
Yes.
But here I'm going to rewrite them and put them in here anyway.
I got the new King James. I have all the way to 20. What's read verse 8?
It says they went out and ran from the tomb because trembling and astonishment overwhelmed them. They said nothing to anyone since they were afraid.
Yeah. So, and that's basically all that, you know, the ESV and the NIV say. Jesus never rose from the tomb, never got up, never ascended back to the Father. And everybody at the end of Mark is just afraid, bewildered, don't know what in the world to do.
The NIV stops at 8, and then it talks about 9 through 20.
Yeah.
But then it has a footnote for 8 that says some manuscripts have the following ending between verses 8 and 9, and one manuscript has it after 8. And it adds more scripture.
Yeah.
You want to talk about confusing.
Yeah.
It's nothing but confusion.
Yeah.
And God is not the author of confusion.
Right.
So he did not offer those books. Amen.
I don't get how, like, dropping all these words and changing up all these verses, how is that okay? But the D's and the vowels, everybody gets tripped up about. Like in the KJV. You see what I'm saying? Everybody gets tripped up about the old English, but they're okay with, like.
I think some of it is people want to be told what to do. I mean, a lot of people do. You know, that's why they go to Mass and they don't understand the Latin because it's a tradition and they feel good about that.
It's a ceremony,
And you just have to know.
That's probably all we'll do. But you can go online and read all the changes. Not all of them, but the ones that really change doctrine. Like the NIV said, you know, other ancient manuscripts other than Codex Sinaiticus and all that. What the Jews do is when they are copying I mentioned this in church, when they're copying a text, if they mess up anywhere and they cannot fix it and make it perfect, they believe that the Bible is an actual living person. So they have to bury it. They have a funeral and everything. They bury it in the ground. If it's got, you know, because it's not flawless, right? You know, basically whatever they use. You know, I know they use the first 5 books, the Torah and all that. So basically, you know, there's all kinds of those over there just buried in the ground. They do it through this day. If they mess up today, tomorrow, they're going to be buried in the ground. So they're going through, these people are digging up, and they're finding all these, you know, ones that have been discarded because they have problems in them. But they're piecing them back together, saying, oh, well, this one was 185. Oh, this one was 164 AD. You know what I mean? Obviously, the 164 AD works. No, they got rid of it because it was flawed. You know what I mean? So they're digging up all these, you know, bad ones. So they're going through finding these. And the guy, I watched an interview on the guy that made the CSB, and a KJV-only interviewer asked him, said, what would you do if they found a new manuscript tomorrow that was different than what you have here? He said, I would throw this away and rewrite a new one off that manuscript. So he don't even have confidence in his Bible that it's the inerrant word of God. So, but basically, everybody, you know, got Catholic Bible without the Apocrypha. So
it's called a living word, and I understand I agree with that. But without the Spirit, it's just a book. So I don't understand why they're buried.
Well, they think of it as because it is living.
But it is a living word. I get that. But it's living because of the Spirit that the first tradition had.
Yeah, tradition.
Not because it's magic paper.
Yeah.
It's definitely magic paper.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, parchment is actually made from sheepskin. What's about the one
thing? Not in some countries, some countries.
On the back of this one, it says, "The English Standard Version, while it was a great choice for personal reading and study, for private devotions and family prayers, and for teaching, preaching, and worship, an essentially literal translation, the ESV Bible combines word-for-word accuracy with a readability, literary excellence, and depth of meaning. More than 100 of the world's leading Bible scholars and teachers were involved in creating the ESV Bible. Trusted worldwide, the ESV is a treasure for life."
Not really, because if they keep updating it, literally, and if there's another manuscript, they're going to scrap it.
Yeah. It's an essentially literal translation.
Essentially.
I don't want to give kudos to anybody, but that's a good business plan.
Yeah,
I know you bought this Bible, but we got another version, so get rid of that. Spend $60 on a new one.
Now, I will say this about the New King James. I'll never promote it. I'll never say anybody get it, never preach out of it, never do anything with it, because they do have some questionable translation in there. But they did translate it from the same thing as the New King, or as the King James. So basically what I'm saying, don't run me off, is if somebody that just got saved went and picked up a New King James Bible, basically anybody that gets New King James ends up on the King James anyways. They've taken polls and everything. But they're not going to be led completely astray on the New King James like they were in the NIV.
Compared to these things.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, they made some questionable word choices. They did, I've noticed. But, this had all the essentials in it, the blood, repentance, you know what I mean, take up your cross. But these two right here are the only ones from the Textus Receptus. Everything else is from those other codices. So don't go around trying to take my papers or anything. I'll never use a New King James. But if somebody that just got saved, they're not going to be led astray if they use the New King James. And they will wind up with the original anyways. Yes, that's what it means. Basically, it's a bridge. I didn't need a bridge. Once I got saved, the Spirit translated this for me anyways. But I guess some people might be wrong.
Yeah, but you did need to talk.
Yeah.
When you got that call for all, you didn't know how important the blood was.
Yeah.
Just that he died. If they take it up, you know which one.
You're right. Well, if they're preaching from the NIV, you know, it's not redemption through the blood when they're preaching it. If they're preaching the scripture, so. Hopefully I taught that good enough. There's so much more that you can go through. If you want the websites and stuff that have certain, show the changes, I can send those, get a link to you. I forgot my paper. I print some of them out. I forgot them all. So that's why I was on my phone. basically it's completely, all the gospel's been taken out of it and just replaced with, thoughts of man.
And did you mention the Greek lexicon?
Yeah, that's in this?
Yeah, did you mention that in stuff?
The Greek lexicon, that's what Jerome translated from the Latin. Yeah. Basically the Alexandrian text.
I could not appreciate this anymore.
Well, now we know what to say when somebody asks, what's the difference between my Bible and the NIV and yours? You know what I mean? Well, you ain't got the blood, you ain't got repentance, and that you ain't got the following of Jesus, you ain't got Mark 9 through 20. You You know,
you don't have power.
Jesus still in the tomb. He ain't ascended and rose up.
He's asking, can you please stop doing that instead of telling you?
Yeah. He's a liberal Christian, or not Christian, parent now instead of, you know, the authoritative son of God.
Gentle parent.
Yeah.
Well, and that's just like his grandpa, like, was teaching on, I have his Revelation tapes, on Revelation. And a question I'll never forget was asked in it, where they asked, like, well, you know, did you hear that they discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls and all these different scrolls after
the specific? That's where they get the Gnostic out.
Yeah, and like, and his thing was, you know, they probably, you know, and I think he answered it beautifully, you know, and with confidence in the KJV, rather, you know, and that is, you know, he basically told her, like, you know, if the scrolls are actually correct, because there are scrolls out there, they're not correct, if they're actually correct, they're still not going to add or take away from this, contradicted, like, what he said, you know. And
yeah.
I thought that was a really good answer, because people will ask you that. You know, well, you know, you say the KJV only, and you say it's off of Textus Receptus, but they're discovering new scrolls and writing upon this piece and this, and it's like, well, it's real simple.
Yeah.
It ain't going to contradict this.
Yeah. I mean, anything that's found, if it's not that, then it's not true. But I can do on the Dead Sea Scrolls. I looked into that some. Basically, it's a certain, it's their own little sect of Jews that broke off. You know what I mean? And that's where they lived, and that's what they used and all that. But
well, and that's how they communicated back then, too. So I'm not saying that every scroll is 100% accurate, but that's what I'm saying. So I kind of feel like the question when people ask me that is kind of like a two-sided question. It's like, well, what scrolls are we talking about? One, but number two, you know, clearly we've proven it tonight.
Yeah.
It's not going to contradict this.
Oh, yeah. Anybody else?
I couldn't go home without sharing this, and this been on my heart since last week, and I thought I still might if I was going to preach it, and this has just been on my heart. I don't know, but in Acts chapter number 28, this just really, Acts 8, verse 29, verse 28, it said, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I accept some man should guide me?
Yeah.
And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened up his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus.
Yeah.
And that began to just stir my heart, and it really has ever since last Tuesday, you know, when we were studying this, is because even back then, he was looking for guidance, looking for, and if you study and you really look into that, Isaiah 53, verse 6 is what they were reading.
Yeah.
And you begin to think, man, Jesus was in right in the middle of all that. And he began to preach Jesus in the middle of that. I just begin to think about that, and it just began to stir my heart. And I don't know if anybody else got anything out of that either.
Oh, yeah.
I just begin to think how this lines up with exactly what we were talking about today. Because he needed guidance. He didn't understand what the sheep meant.
Yeah.
That they were going to slaughter.
Yeah.
And I like Philip didn't give his opinion.
Yeah.
Philip didn't say what he thought the scripture said. He just said he preached Jesus.
I
wish we would have more churches that would just preach Jesus.
Amen.
More preachers that would just preach Jesus.
That's right.
More families that would just teach Jesus in our life. And I believe that we would get somewhere, and I believe that just goes right along with what we were studying tonight. That Philip didn't give his opinion, but he just preached Jesus same scripture. That just really blessed my heart, and I couldn't go home without sharing that, and I've been sitting on that.
Yeah.
And I still might preach. I don't know, one day, you know, if God lays it on my heart again, but that just really stirred my heart to think, you know, that God can just speak so clearly. I don't want to get too far into the eunuch.
Yeah.
But I think we all have studied that out and know what that is.
Yeah.
But because the world has even tried to take unity and change it into what they believe it was, they want to take that and form it into, well, God is accepting that. They try to bend everything. But all he wanted to do was preach Jesus. And I believe that's the truth today. Still today.
Amen. It was led as a guinea pig to the slaughter. That's what it would say in that other country. I mean, can you believe that?
Nope.
If you explain, instead of explaining to them what a sheep is, let's just change it to guinea pig. An unclean animal.
I just don't understand. How can you slaughter something so small?
That would have been 12 men.
That's not a lot of blood.
Yeah, I don't know why they're
in the water
anyway.
Right.
Yeah. They're like, how are you going to be covered in that?
Yeah.
I just
don't understand.
Like,
it's a hat. I just love the shepherd leading all the flock of guinea pigs.
I know.
Like,
yeah.
This is insane.
Oh, one thing they do leave out in there, I wanted to say this because it's one of my favorite passages. The woman taking adultery. Completely out. Yeah. Just not in. Yeah, wow. They take it out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Where he stoops down with his finger.
Yep.
Goes, said no more. You know, now just live and shatter your sins for the rest of your life. It's not in. They took it out. Because it's not in Codex Sinaiticus.
So I read a little farther into this thing. I probably should have. But there's a.
You want to take that hole?
No.
My thing though is that it says here it's got a plan of salvation in the back of it, and it talks about how the blood is mentioned 460 times in the Bible. But why was it left out of the
Jesus' blood?
You know, why? That just is
confusion all around.
It's the Legends version, the Gen Z version.
Yeah. Hey, look it up in that one.
I found a scripture on it. I couldn't find the one that we were going through, but and it doesn't even tell me which one that it is. But